The dead don't come back. These words, meant to comfort a child grieving a pet, form the bedrock of our understanding about death's finality. But what happens when this fundamental truth shatters? In the small town surrounding Lake Lamont, Samantha is about to discover the terrifying answer. As the school's feared bully, she's perfected the art of cruelty, especially toward her former best friend, Rachel. But when a moment of rage at the lake's edge leads to an unforgivable act, Samantha finds herself trapped in a nightmare where the impossible becomes reality. The lake, it seems, has been waiting for someone like her, someone whose darkness could awaken what lurks beneath its placid surface. And now, as the boundary between life and death blurs, Samantha must confront not just the monster she created, but the monster she's become. Samantha rules through calculated intimidation. As the school bully, she targets Rachel, her former best friend, wielding fear precisely. We meet her fuming about a canceled trip to Rocky River Adventure Park, punishment for failing Mrs. Henderson's spelling test. In her warped view, this is Rachel's fault for not completing homework as ordered. She justifies her cruelty through a fabricated betrayal. We used to be best friends until she betrayed me by telling Jessica about the stolen test answers. This self-deception enables her extortion without guilt. At home, her parents' failing marriage fills the house with arguments while they constantly compare her to perfect sister Jessica. This pressure cooker of inadequacy finds release through controlling others. At Lake Lamont's dock, Samantha confronts Rachel with accumulated rage. Each push grows harder until Rachel falls into the water. Samantha's satisfaction fades as minutes pass with no movement. The terrible truth? Rachel never learned to swim. Most chilling is Samantha's response. Though knowing she should help, she remains frozen for 3 crucial minutes, choosing inaction. Only when spotting Rachel's sketchbook does reality crash in. Her first instinct isn't remorse, but self-preservation, checking for witnesses, grabbing evidence, and fleeing. The aftermath of Rachel's drowning plunges Samantha into psychological horror. She dreams of drowning, fighting seaweed, while seeing Rachel's silent scream, pulling her down to where my darkest secrets have drowned. Awake, Samantha's guilt continues tormenting her. She obsessively checks news for reports of a missing girl. Rachel's mysteriously wet sketchbook hints that the boundary between nightmare and reality is dissolving. Walking to school, Samantha expects police cars and missing person posters. Instead, everything remains bizarrely normal, a normalcy more terrifying than accusation, trapping her in a private hell. Her senses betray her, sopping textbooks, pizza transforming into seaweed with tiny skeletons, water pooling from her closet, then vanishing. Most chillingly, Samantha questions whether she's being punished or tested. When the phone rings despite being unplugged, when Rachel's handprints leave water that won't dry, are these supernatural occurrences, or is her guilt-ridden mind turning against itself? This ambiguity creates horror more disturbing than any monster. The morning after Rachel's drowning, Samantha is horrified to find her at school, alive and acting normal. Rather than exposing what happened, Rachel claims she wasn't feeling well and went home early, as if the drowning never occurred, creating the story's central horror. Rachel's return brings disturbing anomalies. Her head sometimes twitches unnaturally fast, like a terrifying glitch. Her handprints leave water that won't dry. She drinks without breathing and catches flies with predatory speed. Occasionally, she appears monstrous, with sagging skin, black-tipped fingers, and pointed teeth, though only Samantha notices. In gym class, Rachel displays superhuman abilities, endless sit-ups, impressive jumps, and effortlessly climbing the rope repeatedly. Her social status transforms dramatically. Once bullied, she now dominates every class, surrounded by formerly indifferent popular students. When questioned about her new confidence, Rachel stares at Samantha and says, "Because of Samantha, I've learned that if you want something, you have to be willing to do anything to get it." This reveals Rachel's return isn't about resuming life, it's about revenge. As Samantha's torment intensifies, Lake Lamont reveals itself as a prison for something ancient and malevolent, a collection of souls drowned over generations. In nightmares, Samantha glimpses countless trapped souls beneath the surface. When Rachel forces her to join a boating party, Christina is dragged underwater by an unseen force. The water becomes still and glassy, revealing nothing but darkness. The horror fully manifests when Samantha returns for Jessica. The water is unnaturally still, the air freezing. Rachel appears transformed, translucent skin revealing bone, a face split by needle teeth, webbed talons for hands, only her glowing blue eyes recognizable. Rachel reveals she's possessed by Lake Lamont's drowned souls, as are Bradley, Mario, and Christina. They plan to possess Jessica next, then everyone who wronged them. Most chillingly, Samantha enabled their return. Your hatred allowed them entry. You had wanted everyone gone, and the lake granted your wish. The lake embodies accumulated suffering, drowning victims whose rage coalesced into something inhuman, awakened by Samantha's act of cruelty. The novel's climax forces Samantha to confront her actions when Rachel reveals the lake entity's plan to possess Jessica next. Samantha must save her sister without reverting to her former cruelty. When shown their old drawings, Rachel's face flickers between monster and human, suggesting genuine connection might break the lake's power. As Jessica is dragged underwater, Samantha appeals to the human Rachel, who temporarily regains control and calls the drowned creatures to the pier. In the final confrontation, Samantha tricks Rachel with her sketchbook, causing her to fall where the creatures swarm her. Yet Rachel's final expression is her true face, smiling at me as she's dragged under, sacrificing herself to save us all. This sacrifice embodies the novel's message. Redemption requires acknowledging harm and accepting consequences. When Jessica retrieves the sketchbook, Samantha cries against her shoulder, finally embracing vulnerability, marking her transformation from believing friendship is weakness to understanding its essential value. The ending leaves readers with haunting questions about consequences and evil's persistence. Principal Detmer closes the lake, addressing the symptom, while the evil remains contained but present. Samantha carries the burden of Rachel's unknown sacrifice. Her final visit to the lake with Rachel's sketchbook becomes an act of remembrance. The novel's chilling final image, a clawed hand rising from the water to drag the sketchbook into the depths, confirms the entities remain waiting. This ambiguous ending reinforces central themes. Evil retreats rather than disappears, and redemption requires vigilance. Samantha evolves from using cruelty as armor to valuing human connection. Rachel's memory, both as friend and monster, continues shaping her choices. The novel offers no easy resolution, but something more valuable, an honest acknowledgement that confronting our darkest impulses is lifelong work. Though closed, the lake holds secrets, and the choice between cruelty and compassion must be made daily.